Hello, .NET readers, members, and listeners. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access audio review for the Lucha Underground episode that aired September 20th, 2017 on the El Rey Network. This was Season 3, Episode 36, titled The Rise of the Ring Announcer. This was the penultimate episode of Lucha Underground to Ultima Lucha, I think. I believe Matt Stryker said Ultima Lucha was happening next week, and that came out of nowhere. Either that or next week is the penultimate episode, or it's a part of the four-week Ultima Lucha event. We'll see. I'm not 100% sure. I could probably find out online, but at the same time, it's not too easy to find a lot of information on upcoming Lucha Underground episodes. Now, first of all, I'm not a huge fan of the whole, multi-episode Ultima Lucha thing, and this was going back to Season 1. I was willing to give it a chance in Season 1 and see how it came out, but the quote-unquote other Ultima Lucha episodes just come off as regular Lucha Underground episodes. So if I remember in Season 1, that ended with Drago versus Hernandez in a very good match. But that was the main event of that show, and any Lucha Underground episode could have ended with a Drago versus Hernandez match. Season 2, we had that random Six to Survive episode. Not Six to Survive. That was another episode of Season 2. It was for a unique opportunity, which is very similar to Six to Survive. And all of other Dario Cueto's quote-unquote innovations. I'm not knocking the designation of Dario Cueto innovations because I thought that's pretty cool. But again, another regular episode of Lucha Underground. And the weird thing about For a Unique Opportunity was it was devoid of any real storyline connection. Son of Havoc wins, and they just take the win away from Son of Havoc. And then Son of Havoc the next year just goes on to be a comedy character until today. But more on that in this review. But yeah, it doesn't really help. It's empty branding. It's not going to increase their ratings. It might make a few Lucha Underground superfans excited that they are seeing quote-unquote important episodes. Where I see the problem with stretching this whole Ultima Lucha thing is they are diminishing the impact of the Ultima Lucha name. They're going over quantity over quality. More is better, which is not true. The law of diminishing returns applies to a lot of things. I talked about past years having big episodes in the part one or part two Ultima Lucha episodes, but that's any Lucha Underground episode. It could have an Aztec Warfare, a Gift of the Gods match, which we got in this episode. And interesting, we're not getting it in Ultima Lucha, but we're getting it, but they found a interesting way to get there. Ultima Lucha, the other episodes that are not the season finale, are just regular episodes of Lucha Underground, and I'm pretty sure people can see through that. Let's go back to this episode, which is the episode we're talking about. And let's treat it as a penultimate episode. Again, I'm not sure if it's the penultimate episode. But this is the way Matt Stryker put it. It made it sound like it was. This a very uneventful announcement. In Ultima Lucha Season, or Lucha Underground Season 1, the final Ultima Lucha episode, Prince Puma and Mil Muertes face off. You had Prince Puma facing off Mil Muertes, who was wearing a suit. It's hard to not remember Mil Muertes in a suit, because it looked pretty interesting. Mil Muertes looked good in a suit. It just kind of looks weird, because he's like the luchador in a suit. The deaf luchador, I mean, in a suit. But it worked, and it led to some good hype for the Ultima Lucha. I think that was the episode where they quote-unquote killed Conan and sent him to GFW hell. I'm kidding. But anyway, in Season 2, if I remember correctly, And I try to get that part of season two as much as possible. But season two's Ultima Lucha was great. It's just a lot of season 2.5 was terrible. That had a face-off between Rey Mysterio and Prince Puma. So this episode got a lot of famous B. And we got a rush to Gift of the Gods match because they only had 8 minutes of the show left. And yeah, this didn't feel like a final episode. Where is Prince Puma facing off against Johnny Mundo Impact Morrigan? So many names. But we didn't get Johnny Mundo or the Worldwide Underground on this show. Very odd. And there's a thought. But there was hype. We did get a lot of the card. But they gave some push to some undercard matches. In fact, they pushed Tejano versus Famous B. So, wait. Just to maybe clarify things, maybe next week is not Ultima Lucha, because we had Dario Cueto announcing that we were getting Famous B versus T. Nope. The next week is Ultima Lucha. Let me scroll down. Now, through the power of hitting the pause button, I went to go check the on-demand Lucha Underground episode on my Sling TV. And yes, Matt Stryker said Lucha Underground Ultima Lucha is happening next week. The hype we got on the penultimate episode was for Famous B and El Tejano Jr. Famous B and El Tejano Jr. Interesting. That was a thing. And the build towards Dante Fox versus Killshot was the same weird thing they did with Killshot in season one, the Killshot 1.0, where he lost all his matches, where Killshot just stands under a spotlight for some reason and then walks away like he's disappointed. There we go. Ultima Lucha is happening next week. It's very odd. Where was Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma? No hype. El Tejano had to get that hype in, though. But we're not here to talk about Ultima Lucha and future episodes at the moment. We're here to focus on episode 36. If you would like to follow along with my audio review, you can check out my written review, which is on the main page of prowrestling.net. And if you're looking at or listening to this in the future, you can check out the drop-down TV review section on the main site where we have written reviews for all the Lucha Underground episodes. And when you check out membership, you know that we have a Lucha Underground audio review every single week. For seasons 1 and 2, Will Pruitt has you covered, and for season 3, I got you covered. There we go. Now, without further ado, let's get into the Lucha Underground audio review. As I said, or I didn't say this, this episode of Lucha Underground was taped back in June 2016, way back when, a year ago, over a year ago, at the Temple in Los Angeles, California. This week's Lucha Underground teaser, it showed the finishes of the Gift of the Gods matches, because this was the Gift of the Gods episode. But the focus, or in the title, wasn't on the Gift of the Gods. It also showed Famous B, because Famous B needs to be hyped, trying to recruit El Tejano Jr. That's a storyline. And they also showed the setup for Phoenix versus Marty Damoff, which is going to happen in Ultima Lucha. This week's Lucha Underground episode was titled The Rise of the Ring Announcer, which sounds like a goofy subtitle, because the storyline is goofy. And you have Matt Stryker and Vampiro pointing out later that some of it doesn't make sense, because why is Melissa Santos wrestling? More on that in a little bit. But the opening cinematic of this episode had Phoenix and Melissa sparring, and almost like they were also putting each other in suggestive positions because they're dating. And this was kind of weird and cheesy. You had Melissa saying, "I want to see under your mask." And then Phoenix is like, "No, this mask has my power. And without the mask, I wouldn't be Phoenix." And she's like, "You will always be Phoenix to me." It was like watching a weird soap opera. Phoenix was surprisingly very good, albeit a little bit sappy. But Melissa's acting was a bit bad here. And I kind of expected it to be the other way around. I would have thought that the actress, Melissa Santos, would have been better than the pro wrestler who doesn't speak English and yet is performing in an American produced TV series. But no, Melissa was a really bad here. And she's like, you would always be Phoenix to me, and you would never lose me, whatever. But she did. What she did do well, at least in the cinematic, was her martial arts parts. But other than that, it was very sappy, very weird. This storyline is weird and forced. Phoenix, he should be feuding with Drago. Yeah, because that's what he was feuding with last. He should be feuding with Mil Muertes. Have it be a love triangle between Jeremiah Crane, Mil Muertes, and Phoenix. And for Katrina's love. Katrina is a well-established character in the Lucha Underground universe. Melissa Santos is an established and very talented ring announcer, but why make the ring announcer an active character in the Lucha Underground world? I mean, I don't mind them having, like, say, when they utilized her in season one, and Pentagon Jr. was about to break her arm, and Vampiro goes in there and tries to save her. That works. But to go from just a ring announcer, a civilian, if you will, to a dude, like I pointed it out, she's a deuteragonist. I don't know how to pronounce that word. The secondary protagonist in this weird random storyline that they pulled Phoenix into, at where Phoenix should be near the top of the card. He was at the top of the card at the beginning of season two. I have no clue why they took him away from that position. He should be where, or at least coinciding with where Pentagon Jr., Prince Puma, Johnny Mundo, Willie Mack, and Son of Havoc, who they just put in that position today, are. But instead, they're having Phoenix in this weird, like, telenovela, bad Days of Our Lives, not even a good telenovela type of storyline. So, not a huge fan. I'll try to minimize my ranting on this storyline from now on, but when new things pop up that I can say about it, I'll point it out. After the opening cinematic, we were taken to the temple, where Matt Stryker and Vampiro checked in on commentary. Slapback, as it has been the last couple weeks, is the house band for tonight. I'm assuming when we get to Ultima Lucha, we're gonna have a different house band. Stryker and Vampiro got some of the opening details out of the way, like hyping up the main event of the show, hyping up Ultima Lucha Tres. Our opening match of the night was Dante Fox versus El Tejano Jr. with Famous B as the ring announcer. He was the ring announcer for the entire night because Melissa Santos is wrestling. They couldn't find a better ring announcer than Famous B. But the first match had Dante Fox defeating El Tejano Jr. via pinfall in 5 minutes and 39 seconds. The finish of the match was very weird. You had Tejano getting a pinfall attempt after a tiger backbreaker. But of course, Famous B was mistaken. This distracted Tejano, and Dante Fox won via roll-up. As I mentioned when I was previewing the show, Killshot is standing on top of the closet area under a spotlight, like he was in season one. Very weird and strange hype. And when the match finished, he just walked away with his head down. But the match was very good. Dante Fox, very fun wrestler to watch. Because there's a lot of rumors and news out there that Ricochet slash Prince Puma is on his way out, and probably WWE bound, probably New Japan bound, who knows? Most likely WWE, NXT bound, but long story short, Ricochet is probably done with Lucha Underground after the end of the season. Where I was going with that was Dante Fox is a very good replacement. He can do all the things Prince Puma can do, and then some. He just has to work on his facial reactions a little bit. That could be the same criticism about Prince Puma, because Prince Puma wears a mask. And I'm not saying they put Dante Fox under a mask. What I'm saying is he just has to work on things a bit. But very good, very athletic. He does some cool things you don't see a lot of wrestlers do. Like he did this wall running moonsault. He has a very good C4. He does a bunch of fun things. El Tejano Jr., even though Lucha Underground would have you believe he's a very boring and uncharismatic character, that's not me saying, and that's what they had several characters in this show say. I believe they had the announcers point it out. They had Famous B point it out. They had Brenda. A couple people on this show pointed out that Tejano's boring. But he's very good in the ring. He's a solid in-ring worker. He just, they never really established what his character is. He's the Texan Jr. That's what El Tejano Jr. translates to. Because his father was the Texan. And they did some vignettes for him where he likes beer. He's the Mexican James Norm, I guess. But they ditched that and now he's just the Texan. But yeah, Tejano, very good worker, very screwy finish. And this was all a setup for Dario Cueto coming out and saying that Famous B will be facing Tejano next week. And Famous B was like, "What are you doing? I'm injured." Because Pentagon Jr. broke his arm. And Dario Cueto joked, "This will be a handicap match." And not a handicap as in 2-on-1, a handicap as in Famous B is handicapped via the injury. But next week's El Tejano Jr. versus Famous B match is going to be a contract match. So if Famous B somehow wins, he can get Tejano's contract, and Tejano will work for him. I wonder if it's going to be one of those like weird wrestling slavery storylines if Famous B wins. I have a feeling that Famous B might win. I have no clue. I was on the final episode of Ultima Lucha, so I have no idea what's happened on the three episodes before. I kind of do, but not on the undercard matches that don't matter, like this one. But there we go. We're going to get Famous B versus El Tejano Jr. And the reason why I think Tejano Jr. is going to lose is because they stacked the deck against Famous B. And no, and we already saw Famous B get his comeuppance against Masquerita Sagrada, and this whole Tejano Famous B thing is just weird. Whatever happened to Dr. Wagner Jr. In terms of Lucha Underground? Of course, he had that big match at Triple Mania a couple months ago, or 1 month ago, where he lost his match mask. Sorry, but yeah, whatever happened to Dr. Wagner Jr.? Very good wrestler, but. Yeah, over 50, but very good wrestler, but I don't know what happened to him. Anyway, we had a Dario Cueto office cinematic. Very simple. You had Son of Havoc there putting his medallion in. He said he's going to win, and he's going to cash in his gift of the gods to get himself in the Johnny Mundo versus Prince Puma match. You also had Pentagon Jr. walking in, or Pentagon Dark. I keep calling him Pentagon Jr. I could call him by his indie name, which he has to change. To be honest, it's not that great. He calls himself Penta El Cero Miedo. It's weird. It was actually Cero M, but even that's weird. He's Pentagon. Let's call him Pentagon. Pentagon walked in. He said he's gonna win. Porque yo soy Pentagon Dark es Cero Miedo. That's his name. There you go. Dario Cueto then said, "We're going to need medics on standby in the main event." Turns out they're not going to need medics in the main event for standby because it was rushed. Our second match of the night was Marty Demoff Martinez and the Mariposa versus Phoenix and Melissa Santos. Melissa Santos wore ring gear. It was like a bikini type ring gear, complete with boob window. I said it was like a very fan servicey type ring attire. It looked great for her. Like I said, it appeased the crowd. And we had, this was a 9-minute match. Marty Damoth and Mariposa ended up defeating Phoenix and Melissa Santos via pinfall in about 9 minutes. And this was, going by ring quality, a surprisingly good match. When you hear that the ring announcer is going to wrestle, you should expect the worst. I've, in the last couple months, and even in Lucha Underground, have seen, so this, the couple matches I've seen, you had like Jeremy Borash, Brandi Rhodes, Angela Fong in Lucha Underground. They've had matches, they were former ring announcers, and they were all kind of bad. What did you expect, to be honest? But it's not like Melissa Santos was at all good in this match. In fact, some of the things she did didn't look that great. But they minimized the things that didn't look great, and Phoenix kind of used her as a weapon in a very creative way. It was actually very fun to watch. He would like have her in a wheelbarrow to assist her in a slam. Then he just twists her around and puts her in a position for like a perfect leg drop. Phoenix is Lucha Underground's most well-rounded. He's their babyface MVP. Where their overall MVP is Mil Muertes, Phoenix is their babyface MVP. And the Lucha Underground Temple, when you go to the Lucha Underground Temple, talk to a lot of those fans. And to be completely honest, I'm almost pretty sure they'll answer that the Lucha Brothers, Phoenix and Pentagon, their brothers in real life, are their favorite wrestlers, and for good reasons. They exude charisma, and they're very good storytellers in the ring. I was about to go and rant on this bad storyline, but you know that I would say it's bad, and I'm pretty sure you would say it's bad too. Matt Stryker and Vampiro seem to kind of agree. I do like that they don't insult the viewer's intelligence by saying, like, why is Melissa Santos wrestling? She doesn't necessarily have to. In fact, she's putting herself in danger, which is putting Phoenix in a tougher position. Very weird. Very odd. I am looking forward to the Phoenix versus Marty Damoth mask versus hair match. Extricate Melissa Santos from the equation, and this match has been built up pretty well. Again, it's forced. Out of nowhere, Phoenix should be on track with Drago or with Mill, two better positions that have more development. But they've done a somewhat decent job building to this match, and I'm looking forward to seeing what these two can do. There are some things I'm not looking forward to, because I know Marty and Phoenix are very into hitting themselves in the head with hard things. And both busting themselves and possibly concussing themselves. But let's hope they don't go overboard there. That's one downside of Phoenix matches. But other than that, I think it should be pretty fun. Moving along. Let's see. So, yeah. So the end of the match, I didn't really go into it. You had Mariposa tying up Phoenix in the corner. And this is another thing I thought was cool, and both more wrestlers and maybe these two should be using more often. Marty Damoth and Mariposa hit Melissa Santos with a double pedigree, so you had Mariposa putting Melissa in the wheelbarrow while Marty hit the pedigree. I thought that was a cool double team finisher that we don't see often. We see like variations of the heart attack in 3D all the time, where I thought this was a good variation of the pedigree. So there's a positive from this match. And as I said, the match was pretty solid, and Phoenix covered well for Melissa's limitations. And I don't know if she has any limitations. We just didn't get to see it because Phoenix did such a good job, like not having her really do anything. But the next match of the night was going to be the Gift of the Gods. And before that, we had Matt Stryker announcing the big matches to Ultima Lucha Trace. Which is going to be El Dragon Azteca Jr. versus the monster, Matanza Cueto. And this next one comes out of nowhere. Zero build, because Katrina's been in a feud with Cage, and which involves Mil Muertes and Jeremiah Crane. Ivelisse versus Katrina. Of course, way early in the season, we had Ivelisse challenge Krtina for a match at Ultima Lucha Trace, and I believe Ivelisse got injured again, as she usually does. Very good wrestler, just very unfortunate that she always gets injured. But there was zero build, not even cinematics. It's just happening. Katrina's wrestling Ivelisse in a match that probably happened in NXT back in the day. Because they both were in NXT at the same time, if I remember correctly, or FCW. The next match is Phoenix versus Marty Damof Martinez in Luchas de Apuestas, Mask versus Hair. Sexy Star would be facing Taya Valkyrie in a Lucha Luchadora standing match. Killshot versus Dante Fox in a Hell of War match, which is three stages of hell, if that's what WWE would call it. I don't remember what three stages of hell they had recently. I just remember it in the video games a lot. And the main event of the show would be Prince Puma versus Johnny Mundo in a career versus title match. Again, they could have used some more build to that. We're probably going to see some build to it in the Ultima Lucha, not Ultima Lucha episodes. But that's where the branding of Ultima Lucha hurts, because you're saying season finale, but it's just more not season finale episodes. Very weird. And Prince Puma needs to find a way to justify why he put his career on the line. The announcers do a really good job, and that's one of the huge positives of season three. The announcing has been Matt Stryker, at least, and I usually don't credit him enough because he sometimes hurts the product. But he's been very good in season three. Vampiro has been good as well, encountering Matt Stryker. Sometimes he can be a little weird, and it's noticeable when he's having a weird night. But he has his good nights as well. He had a good night tonight, especially calling Matt Stryker out on a weird when Phoenix got crotched on the top rope. It was weird by Stryker. I thought it was hilarious, but I also thought it was more hilarious when Vampiro called him out on it. Now, let me take a little break from the audio review to talk about .NET membership. For the price of $7.50 a month, you can become a .NET member, which gives you ad-free access to our site. On top of that, you get access to both the archived and new audio every single week. We review every major wrestling show from Raw, SmackDown, GFW, ROH, NXT. We cover Lucha Underground every single week. You're just getting a taste right here. But note that we have every single episode reviewed every week, every first run episode. We don't review Lucha Underground on weeks that are reruns. That would happen for a long time, until recently. Our most popular podcast is our flagship podcast, the .NET Weekly Show, where Jason Powell and a co-host go over all the major wrestling news of the week, as well as upcoming wrestling events. This week's guest was Survivor star Johnny Fairplay, where he and Jason talked about their Bobby Heenan memories, as well as previewing upcoming WWE's No Mercy pay-per-view. There's a lot more to the membership, but that would probably take like 5 more minutes to explain, and I don't want to like beat on a dead horse to tell you to become a member, because just check it out yourself, if only for 1 month. If you like it, you'll stick, and if you don't, just jump off the boat or check us out later when you feel like you want lots of wrestling information and content. So, also, if you do like us, your membership, you might consider switching to our annual option, which brings the $7.50 down to an average of $5.50 a month. So, check out, and you'll get a plethora of wrestling content. Now, back to the audio review. After my plug, we're in our last match of the night, which was the Gift of the Gods 7-Way. One fall to a finish. Paul London versus Malasorte versus Saltador versus Ricky Reyes versus Drago versus Son of Havoc versus Pentagon Dark for the Gift of the Gods Championship. Most of this match was this madness ensuing. That's what I do when there's like three matches happening at the same time and you can't really keep your eyes on one. That's kind of how most of this match was. The standouts, the ones who looked very good, were Saltador, who's the weird checker guy. I have no idea who's under the checkers. And Drago, who looks good in whatever situation he's in. Drago, he's. How come a lot of people like never really got this guy hyped up sooner? He's over 40, but every match you see him and he works well with everyone, and he doesn't overdo the high flying. He's a very technical wrestler. His finisher is a roll up, but he makes a roll up look epic. Drago was very good here. The end of the match was weird, and the way so Pentagon Jr. got to look good too. Pentagon Dark in Lucha Underground World. He hit the package pile driver on Saltador, and smartly, intelligently, he went to go get Paul London in a package pile driver to prevent him from breaking out his teammate. He hit both of them. You had Son of Havoc hitting Saltador with the Shooting Star, and this is what was weird. So Marty Elias goes and uses both hands to count pins for both Son of Havoc and Pentagon. But why would the referee ever do that? Very weird. Too cute of a finish. I do know, but of course, Dario Cueto comes out and clarifies things. He says both Son of Havoc and Pentagon Dark wins, so we will get a Gift of the Gods final between Son of Havoc and Pentagon Dark next week for the Gift of the Gods titles, and it would be a ladder match, as he pronounces it. He pronounces ladder match in a very fun way, but a very odd way to get to this match. But that said, I'm looking forward to this match. It's going to be Matt Cross versus Pentagon Dark. Who wouldn't want to see that match? It's an indie dream match, if you will. But a very odd way to get there. I thought an interesting way they could have got there would have been to have both men collect medallions, and the person who has the most medallions gets to choose the stipulation, and then have that be a ladder match. Have Son of Havoc be the one that chooses it. I just feel that they kind of wasted their time by just having this sick, forgettable seven-way. It reminded me of a seven-way, eight-way, five-way, four-way, three-way, 3-2-8-way TNA X Division, spot fest. And yeah, that's kind of what this was. It was a TNA X Division match where no one really stands out. And because Lucha Underground does so many high spots, the high spots that blend together. Luckily, Drago got to stand out and Saltador got to stand out, but no story's got to be progressed. Ricky Reyes had a really good match against Joey Ryan a couple weeks ago, yet he was totally forgettable here. Paul London, who has had several memorable matches in the last month or so, totally forgotten. Drago, who has been forgotten the last couple months, this showed up out of nowhere. Very forgettable match and very odd. But wait, there's more. I forgot to mention, there's a post-credit scene. So Dario Cueto goes into the back of a limo where the FBI guy, his name is Agent Winter. He is like, dude, like, why do you have Cage's gauntlet? We need him to be possessed by the Lord. They're like Lord of the Order, whatever. They're a part of some sort of cult. Him and Dario. Dario was like, "It we gave it to Cage. He's not being taken over." And of course, I'm paraphrasing. And the guy was like, "You told me it was working." And Dario was like, "Cage, he's not a man. He probably is actually a machine. So you can't possess a machine." But Dario came up with another thing. So he set up a triple threat between Cage, Mil Muertes, and Jeremiah Crane for the Metal Gauntlet. And he says he hopes the other two guys win because they're human. Dario Cueto then, after this, said, no, and then the guy asked, what if Cage wins? And that plan didn't work. But essentially, what they did here was turn that Metal Gauntlet, who I swear still has the soul of MVP. This is that god that they're talking about. And anyway, yeah, they turned it into a mid-card title. So they have the Gift of the Gods and the magical MVP glove. Makes you do some baller elbows. But we found out at the end of the cinematic that the Lord is in fact alive again, which is confusing. So the whole point, reason that this glove exists is because he has ascended, yet now he's back and smoking a cigar again. I have no clue who this guy is going to be. Because I believe they were, because this based off of MVP's interviews, that they were building up MVP to be this like all-seeing Lord character. Now I'm suspecting that they rewrote the character, and just like how they built Matanza. So Matanza was Jeff Cobb, who has been who was competing in Lucha Underground dark matches. They have another dark match guy. His name is Kevin Cross. He wrestles for Global Force. Not the GFW that you see on TV now, but the GFW that was run by Jeff Jarrett before they became TNA, Impact Wrestling Anthem. Kevin Cross is this big this like big muscular dude. I think he would have made a better Matanza, because the problem with Jeff Cobb is even though he's very muscular, he's kind of short. Short and wide. It's just Matt Stryker even said it on commentary, and this was Stryker's fault. He said, like, look at Matanza next to Tejano. Matanza's so much bigger than Tejano, even though Tejano's way bigger than Matanza. But yeah, so my speculation, I have no clue because it doesn't exist yet. This must be a season four thread, if season four ever happens. I'm guessing that Kevin Cross might be the person they have in mind to be this Lord guy, but I could swear that it was originally written for MVP. But anyway, this was a good in-ring episode, so lots of good in-ring action. Each match, though, had a flaw to it that detracted from the quality of the match, because in order for pro wrestling to be good, you need good storytelling and good matches. So the matches were good here, but nothing was cohesive because the storylines were funky, the finishes were weird, and this is leading into Ultima Lucha. Yet there was no real like lead-in to Ultima Lucha. We're just going to Ultima Lucha. We didn't even get any build to Ivelisse versus Katrina. It's just going to happen. Very weird in some cases. But I'm looking forward to Pentagon Dark versus Son of Havoc. That's going to be really fun. There's no way that cannot be fun. Unless you have some weird Famous B finish or something. But Famous B is dealing with El Tejano Jr. So, there. That's it with the review. I will be back probably later on today with my NXT review, if you're a member, of course. And again, if you're not a member, make sure you check out our .NET membership to find out all we have to offer. Jason Powell will be by with Jake Martinet at the end of the week to review the WWE No Mercy show. So there you go. Thank you so much for listening along, and have a nice one. Bye-bye.